Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we go through the Bible slowly and methodically and show you a lot of hidden meanings behind a lot of the phrases and the paragraphs. And you got to look at this book. Oh, you can't read this book one time and think you got it. You can't read a verse one time and think you got it. I've personally read this book over 100 times, and every time I look at it, I get new things out of things I've read over and over and over again. It's what God said, it does me my heart good that kings search out the hidden messages and meanings in my book. Don't go home without reading this through multiple times, because he's going to ask you, did you read my book? He's going to know the answer already. Don't say, oh, I got into Leviticus and it just got so hard to read and I fell asleep. You know, we've talked about that a lot. There are a lot of laborious readings in here. But once you finish the rest of the book, you go back and read that, you'll find things that pertain to what you read in the rest of the book. Wow, that's why they did that. This is why this happened. You know, read it over and over. Read it methodically. You know, we've come already. We're into the book of Judges. Children of Israel have crossed over into Canaan. God had given Abraham the original covenant, which I cannot ever say enough. All God wants is your heart. He said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, the patriarchs could do that, but the children, when they came out of Israel, could not. They were God doubters. Even though he was in their presence, showing them great miracles, they were God doubters. As long as he was standing there, they were, yeah, that's our God right there, all powerful. As soon as he walked away, oh, we're going to die of thirst out here. So he says, you know what? Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. It's just too easy for you guys. Sometimes the easy things are the hard things. He says, I'm going to give you something hard. Something you can do with your hands. You know, the other thing is follow me with all your heart. That's a spiritual thing. And then the circumcise your children is just an outward expression of, yes, I belong to God. Same thing, Christ come, when he come to reset it back to that. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. The spiritual man follows God, and the spiritual man subjugates the mind, which the Bible says is contrary to the will of God and this abominable flesh. And he, the spirit man, subjugates that and has this body baptized as an outward expression that I follow Christ. It's that easy. And under Christ, Paul says, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. And if you're following him with all your heart, you'll know the difference. But the children of Israel couldn't do it. They needed things to do with their hands, make themselves feel like they were covering their sins, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. When they sinned, oh, we're naked now, among other things. There's a whole lot more. You need to catch episode 1 of Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFFradio.com. Catch it. There's things there that your pastor ain't never told you because he doesn't know himself, because all he's preaching is what they told him to preach. You got to read this book for yourself. There are things in here. There are prophecies about America in here. Never heard that one, have you? It's a prophecy about America taking the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel in the final days, among other things. There's a lot of stuff in this Bible that you haven't heard in church. You got to read it, read it, read it, read it over and over. So the law was given, a great, massive volume of bondage. And we learned, Jonathan, remember that you can sin by accident. You can sin and don't even know you've sinned.
Yep.
You know, doesn't that seem impossible? You know, if you're following God with all your heart, you will know when you sin, right?
Until you walk outside and step on the earthworm.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the first covenant. If we're following God with all our heart, we'll know when we sin, right? Well, the heart will feel it.
Yeah, because
under the law, like you said, you can scoop up a handful of dirt and there's a dead bug in it, And you're sinful.
Yes, sir.
You can touch a doorknob that Hoochie Mama touched a little while ago.
Yep.
You're sinful. It's that easy. Why wouldn't you want it the easy way? Follow me with all your heart. But under the law, you have bondage, absolute bondage. You're dirty all the time, unclean all the time, must make constant sacrifice all the time just to cover your daily uncleanliness. You know, Christ came to cover your spiritual sins forever. They're covered. You accept Him, they are covered. Oh, what about these backsliders that backslide, Pastor Dave? Oh, yeah, you know what? The Bible explains that. Paul says, does the freedom of Christ give me license to sin? God forbid. He will lay the rod to my back. You will pay for the sins you do in this flesh, in this life. Oh, well, Jesus died for my sins. He died for your spiritual man. This flesh, if it gets out of line, it will pay right here on this earth. What did Jesus say to the man that he healed? Go and I'll heal you, and go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Apparently, sin and disease have something in common. Sin kind of causes disease. Modern medical doctors don't realize this. Modern medicine fights against the law. Your doctor that you go and visit religiously, he battles against the law. Because the law said if you sin, you get sick. You know, little sin, little sickness. Big sin, big sickness. Long-term sin, long-term sickness. Christ was never sick a day in his life. There's a lot of other patriarchs in here that the Bible doesn't say were ever sick. Moses and Noah were one of them. Enoch. You know, follow me with all your heart. You will have a good, healthy body. You'll have a good, healthy mind. And your spirit man will go into the next world in a good place. So we've come into the land of Canaan after great doubt, 40 years in the wilderness because of doubt. God wanted the entire generation to die off that doubted him. Instead of killing them on the spot like he wanted to do, Moses talked him out of it again. It was a constant battle for Moses to talk God out of killing these people because they just could not believe him. It's a burden. A lot of pastors have big burdens, nothing like Moses had. And there will never be a shepherd of Israel again like Moses was. When Joshua took over, you see that he had never had the face-to-face with God. He was a good shepherd, but not like Moses. And then after Joshua came the judges. And the judges weren't shepherds like Moses and Joshua. They had command of the entire congregation. What they say went in the entire congregation. But now we've come into the land of Canaan. Moses and Joshua both told him, expel the entire inhabitants of this land, or else you will be sinful against God, and they will be thorns in your side forever. They will cause you problems. If you expel them, you'll be blessed. God said so. Moses said so in the Book of Remembrance. Expel them, or else. Well, immediately, three tribes don't expel them. Take them as servants. Apparently, the other tribes said, man, what an awesome plan.
Yes.
Look at what Judah did.
Yes.
He got 20,000 servants already.
We could have a swimming pool dug by next week.
Oh, seriously, never chopping wood again. So, almost all the rest of them didn't expel the inhabitants either. Took them all as bondservants. So, Joshua, seeing this, you know, Moses says, absolutely expel them. And Joshua, seeing this, seeing the first three do this, and then he dies and the rest of them do what they do, he says, okay, you've allowed some of them to stay. That's sin, but don't make it worse. Do not intermingle with them. Don't give your sons to them. Don't take their daughters for your sons. Do not adopt their ways and do not worship their gods. Maybe they'll just die out and this cancer will leave. You see, he was a lesser shepherd than Moses. Moses would not have done that. Moses would have said, now, out. Get them out now.
Yes, sir.
But as they go, and you'll see as we get into Judges, the Judges are not shepherds anymore. They are champions of Israel. When there's a problem, they go there and they deal with the problem. So the age of the shepherd is over. We go into the age of the judge, and then that will issue into the age of the kings. But right now, we're in the land. We've had a couple judges, and the Israelites immediately begin to sin before God, immediately begin to mix with these people they left in the land, giving their daughters, taking their daughters, worshiping their gods. And we see these judges come, take care of business, put things straight, and then there's peace in the land for 40 years. And then the next judge comes, deals with this insurrection, peace in the land for 80 years. And we're here in chapter 4, book of Judges. Good to be with you here today. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Imagine that, Jonathan.
I know.
That's like an ever reoccurring theme here, isn't it?
you kind of took the words out of my brain because I read that sentence right before you did, and I was like, imagine that.
Do you ever remember a chapter starting with, and the children of evil did good in the sight of the Lord?
Right, there you go. There you go. Yeah, the transverse is odd, right?
When Ehud was dead, And that's what we were seeing on the last episode. As soon as the judge died, it's like party,
yep,
man.
Yep.
Party!
Yep.
It's okay to have fun with God's word. He's a God of love and joy. You don't have to be stately and solemn. Put on your tuxedo, you know. There are times for that. God's word is enjoyment. I've read it so many times. Fascinated by it, and such joy it brings to the spirit.
I've seen so many people get hit by the Holy Ghost and just start laughing uncontrollably.
Oh yeah,
over my days.
Yeah. Like, yes, sir.
If that's not joy, I don't know what is.
And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Hathoseth of the Gentiles. Okay, so they did evil in the sight of the Lord as soon as the judge died. Ehud's dead.
Yep.
Party! And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Yes, and we talked about that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's just about like America right now. 50-50 split. Those who have a heart to still follow God and those who are into absolute debauchery. Anything goes. So, but it doesn't matter because God told those 50%, if you have cancer in this community, it's up to you to root it out. You do not, if you know your neighbor's worshiping a false god, it's up to you to root it out. You know they're mingling with the Canaanites, it's up to you to root it out. So they're as guilty as the ones that are doing it. America, the silent majority are as guilty as the ones that are causing the issues. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The 50% that were trying to follow God, but still disobedient because they wouldn't root out the evil. For he had 900 chariots of iron. He had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, you're going to see God turns things over to a female here for a while. Huh? A couple of them.
Weird.
For the reason, you know, for the specific reason of back then, females were property.
Mm-hmm.
They had no place in the religious ceremonies. They had no leadership in anything other than the fact that they ruled the tent that they lived in. But God said, you know, the men of Israel will not stand up. I'm going to stand up a woman and disgrace all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Laphadot, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, And she unto and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and this his chariots, and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Interesting wording there. I'm going to back up and read that again. She called to Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. So she's telling him exactly what God said. So God is talking to this woman who he has made the judge of Israel. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. There again. What is this doubt again? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
She just gave him a straight charge from the Lord.
Yes, from the Lord. Just the same thing that Joshua gave to Judah. Go up to this mount and take it. God said, I'll give it in your hand. Oh, that's great.
But
Naphtali, can you come with me?
You got some strong guys in your camp, yes. Don't you?
Yeah, bring your army too. I know God is powerful, but I'd like to have your guys with us too.
It's just a little backup, just in case.
Yes. Absolute doubt. Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me. And he's looking to a female, a woman, mm-hmm. who in their society has no class status. That's how far the masculinity of the children of Israel has drawn down to nothing. From Joshua, who came back from the spying mission and said, Let's go now. We can take it today. God is with us. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Huh? What'd you tell me she just told him?
Straight from the Lord.
Straight from the Lord. I equate this back to Christians that say they love Jesus Christ, say they have accepted the salvation through his horrible death, and then try to hold on to the law. Yeah, I know Jesus. I know all that sacrifice you made and all them, your back was flayed and the flesh ripped off of it and a crown of thorns and nailed on a cross and hung there naked before the world, the God of all creation, hanging between heaven and earth. Yes, just devastated. I know you did that for me and thank you, but it just wasn't enough. It isn't enough. I have to do something with my hands to make me feel holy. I got to keep Sunday. My neighbors got to see me that we don't even cook on Sunday. We cook it on Saturday so that we can eat it on Sunday because we gotta keep the Sabbath day holy. When I tell you what, you're telling Jesus Christ, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. What you did wasn't enough. And then to make things work, you cooked on the Sabbath and ate it on Sunday. What sin is worse, cooking on the Sabbath or telling Christ his sacrifice wasn't good enough? The Bible says if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. If you have Christ, if you accept Christ, you cannot hold on to a piece of law because you make his sacrifice of no avail to you. That means it doesn't count. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, because you, sir, just asked me to go when God said, I'm going to give you the battle.
Yep.
So you will have no honor out of this, because you said you wouldn't go unless I go with you. And Deborah arose and went with Barak and Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanim, which is by Kadesh. Wonder why he did that. You figure he sees what is going on in the priesthood now?
It seems like.
Yeah. Who's in charge now?
You're talking about...
the chief priest. And
then, right.
The old fat boy that sets up the Hoochie Mama tents on both sides.
Yeah, that's right. The red light district guy.
Yes.
Yeah, Phineas, isn't it?
Phineas, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, this Moses' father-in-law, his clan has been hanging out with the Levites for years now. And all this, you got to look at every word in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, that's the what remains of the father-in-law's tribe that was there with him, been hanging out with the Levites forever, all of a sudden picks up his stuff and moves. Pitched his tent into the plain of Zanim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people with him from Habroseth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? And God is going to do something here too. He brings on Deborah, a female judge. She commands. She tells him what God says. Go and do this. Oh, I can't do it unless you go with me. And then this Sisera, he's going to be taken down by another woman. God's going to show him. And she said, you will have no honor today because you didn't trust God. You wanted me to go. You said you won't go unless I go with you. I'm just a woman. A messenger of God. That's it. But God's going to bring another woman into this and take all of his honor away. Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak. So that Sisera lighted off his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Haroseth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Interesting. The Kenites kind of got some side treaties going on with the inhabitants that live around. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. When he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. She says, come in here, I'll hide you. I know I'm part of the Levitical line, but we got that special relationship going on. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, gave him to drink, and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say no. And Jael, Haber's wife, took a nail of the tent. These aren't little nails.
No.
These are like 10 inches long.
Yeah, I just remembered the story right when we read that sentence.
And took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples. Temples! All the way through and nailed it to the ground. And fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. So she brings him in here to off him. God said, I'm going to take all the glory away from you because you needed a woman to go with you when I said, I got this. So Deborah went, and then This woman went. J.L. Heber's wife. She took him in, she hit him, waited till he fell asleep, drove a 10-inch long spike through the temples of his head. Oh, she murdered him, Pastor Dave. No, she did not. This man had a death sentence from God. She was carrying it out.
Cut out the cancer.
She was the avenger of blood for the Almighty God. Thou shalt not kill. That's an improper translation. The Ten Commandments say thou shalt not murder. Take it back to Hebrew and find out. To murder, you must be innocent. To kill, there are lots of reasons to kill, and God says there are lots of reasons to kill, and he commands many people to kill. That has been a great stumbling block to Christianity ever since it was translated incorrectly. If you are guilty, which we all are under the law, we deserve death. But there are many reprieves through sacrifice that the death can be put forward. This man was guilty before God. God said, I will go with me. I will wipe these people out. This was the last one. And he wanted to do it in a big, spectacular way because the man that he chose to do the job couldn't do it without a woman along with him. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show you the man whom thou seekest. And we came into her tent. Behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Yeah, see? Jabin, king of Canaan, is the one that the Kenites had a little special relationship going on with. So God's working from inside their tents also through killing of Sisera. Nothing is done in this book that's not choreographed of God.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.